Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
He gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I have to ask this question two ways. How did you get along with your parents? Or how do you get along with your parents? As we think about the fact here that it says that God himself, the Father, sent his Son to suffer and die for us, we recognize that that's because our first mom and dad, Adam and Eve, did not get along with their father. Surprise. It really is. We might say we don't get along with our father or our mother because they don't let us do what we want to. But God had given Adam and Eve absolutely everything. Peace in his presence, peace with him, the gift of life to enjoy every single day. And it wasn't enough. They wanted something more. They did not want to be in the household. They wanted to run the show. We want to be like God, knowing good and evil. They bought right into what the temptation said. We want to be on that same level. In our worldly life, not only our parents, but there are many around us who give us trouble. When I was growing up, there were certainly times when I did not agree with what my father and mother were saying and doing and asking me to do. I remember wanting to play ball in the summertime with the league of all the public school kids. My folks said, well, you've got some chores to do, first of all. And my dad happened to know where some of those kids came from and just really didn't want me hooked in with that crowd. I didn't like it. I still remember that I didn't like it. But he said, I know better. There were many times when things happened where I would be fighting with my parents verbally about why this and why that, and why do you say this and why do you do that? We can all come up with those. There is this tension between staying forever a child and being grown up. We seem to have the trouble about which is which. It's nice to be a child when someone's taking care of us. It's nice to be an adult when we want to do what we want to do. And so our relationship, even with our God, is fraught with difficulties. Because one of the things we really don't like is having someone else tell us what to do. Having someone else with a different idea saying, you're going to do things my way. Some people call that work. You go to work and somebody else has a different idea about how you're to do things. And we might say, yes, but I've thought about this a lot and I've got good ideas. And that might not help. Our good ideas may not be enough. Sometimes the things that our parents would tell us not to do or to do were really, as they would say, for our own good. For our own good. And that was always a hard thing to figure out. How can something that you won't let me do be for my own good? Well, because sometimes we don't see the consequences. We don't see where something leads. It's very difficult to live life when we have to recognize that we may not have all the answers, that somebody else may know more than we do. Because, well, they're just humans too, aren't they? Well, we do the same thing with God. We can read the scriptures and get irritated by what they say because they seem to pinch in on us. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. Don't tell me what's wrong with me. Just pat me on the back and praise me for everything I do. We find out that not every picture that we drew in kindergarten gets to go on the fridge, And there comes a time when not everything that we do gets to go on the fridge. And not everything we do gets an award. And not everything we do gets praised. And we live this life where we begin to find out not everything works, and we may be clueless about what's wrong. Why are you bothered? Why don't you like this? What's wrong with this? And so we get irritated, and we stomp off, and we mups, and we pout, and we slam doors to try and let somebody else know we really are in the right and they're in the wrong. And it works maybe one time out of 18 million. The rest of the time, we find out somebody is not going to change their mind just because of our response. It's hard to realize, even though we all are in this sinful condition, that there are some who have better answers and ideas than we do. Or that together we need to work on those things and understand together, where do we go? How do we go ahead? And not just to have those in power always dominate and those who are on the other end always be dominated, but to try to listen, to try to really grow and understand life together. But finally, we acknowledge when we come here to worship that we stand before a God who lets us know even our best efforts, even the things where we are really concerned that we're in the right, mask the fact that before Him, we are nothing but those who deserve wrath and punishment by the nature that we're born with. Because the very fact that we think we can make life on our own and do things our own way is the root sin. Luther talks about false belief and despair and other great and shameful sins. And the very fact that I think I'm the one in the right clouds the fact that before God I'm not. That I'm born in a broken relationship. And we can't even blame our mom and dad for it because they were born the same way. None of us are born at peace with God. And so even those little times when we say, I don't always get along or didn't always get along with my mother and father, those are little hints that we don't get along with God either. We want to be praised. We don't want anyone telling us that we are sinners, that there are things that we do where we push others away and we elevate ourselves in importance and we hide from the reality of who we are. We want everyone just to take us as we are. Love me for what I am. Don't tell me anything's wrong with me. And then comes along that final destiny that says our life will be over here someday. And the scriptures say the wages of sin, that's death. That's what the payoff is. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so Nicodemus comes to talk to Jesus at night. They talk back and forth as if they are teachers. And the surprise is Jesus has been doing some miracles. We know about the wedding at Cana, where he had multiplied that water and had turned it into wine for that meal, for that wedding celebration. And now Nicodemus is trying to figure out who is this guy anyway. Something strange is going on. And Jesus says to him, don't you get it? Don't you get it? We have to be born again. We have to have a different parent bring us into life everlasting than the ones that brought us into this world. A different parent. One who is not going to love us just because we're nice, but who's going to say, I have to come to change you inside, because that which is born of flesh is flesh, and if all we do is live by our fleshly nature, even if we're the nicest people in the world, someday life will end. Even if we're the most wicked in the world, someday life will end. And Jesus gives us a little hint at what's going on. He says, my father did not intend that for you. My father did not intend for you to be at odds with him. My father did not intend for you to be lost forever apart from him. He wants you with him. That God himself wants us with him forever. And it's not going to be because we somehow can climb the mountain and get there and show by our good behavior that we deserve it. The wages of sin will catch up with all of us anyway. That old nature, the one that we get from our mom and dad, is not the whole story. The whole story is what we get from God. That he breathed life into Adam and Eve. He breathed the spirit into Adam and Eve. And that's what they lost when they died. When they died by taking the fruit of the tree and leaving the relationship with God. And so the first thing we all have to do is acknowledge we don't have it all together. No human being on this earth can have it all together. We need something more. And it might be irritating. We might not like to hear that story because a lot of people would say, I'm doing just fine. I don't need to be born again. Another way the Greek word gets played out, anothen, is to be born from above. And that's really the sense that Jesus is talking about it here. Though we don't know what Aramaic word he used, the translation comes out, something has to happen outside of you. Nicodemus says, can you crawl back in your mother's tummy again and get born again? And just as we didn't ask to be born the first time, we don't set up how to be born the second time. That comes through what God himself does to make us at peace with him, to give us a peace that we can have this day as we commune with our Lord, as we hear that we are at peace with God the Father through the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, and that everything's okay. It doesn't mean we just get to go back to be selfish, but it means everything is okay. For as Moses put that serpent on the stake, when people were being bitten by serpents and dying in their rebellion against God, and those who looked to that were healed of their snake bite, so Jesus says, I'm going to be hung up on a cross. And that's the way that you are going to get healed. At great cost, not with gold or silver, but with his holy and his precious blood. Somebody's dead because of you and me. God is dead because of you and me. God took death into himself that he might give us life again. How do we get born again? Through the mystery as the wind blows, through the mystery of hearing this story and having the Spirit of God quicken our hearts and our minds. We find out we've been made alive to become children. Not to become adults in our Father's presence, but to stay children. To say, Lord, would you please guide me and help me know when I'm acting out of my old sinful nature, when I'm doing things that are against you and myself and other people, even though I might think I'm in the right, spoil that in me. Help me to recognize where I'm the one who is at least contributing to the problem. Help me to recognize that I do not need to always be first and in the front and correct, but that as I live this life on this earth, you are my Father, and you love me, and you care for me, and you guide me. Whether my mom and dad had it all right or not, I don't know. Guess it doesn't matter. But our God knows what's best for us. He knows that it's best for us that we recognize that we are his children, that we were created to praise and honor and glorify him and to love those around us and to find ways to grow in that holy living and that holy loving. And thus to come and to say, Lord, have mercy on me. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for putting me on the path of life that leads to being in your presence forever. Help me already now to shake off those things in my life where I would push you away. It really means hungering to hear the words from his sacred scriptures, to understand where does that fit into my life, even if it's someone else's sin that's being condemned, that I say, where is that going on in me? The arrogance or the pride of wanting to be first or being in control or making sure that I get my way. Where do I need to confess that I'm the one who needs to be the repentant child, not the boastful one, not always having to be in the right, but to be in the right relationship with the one who loved me enough to take away in my life that which is so irritating and abhorrent to God that if his son had not died, I'd be lost forever. And so to come as little children, to find a place where we can say, Lord, guide me and lead me. Help me to look inside myself to see where I have fought against you and against other people, our parents and others, and where I have said, I know what's right, instead of, would you help and guide and lead me? And we ask that our Lord would give us the peace that this world cannot give, that he would assure us of our salvation and go forth with us, that we may love others with his forgiving love and look for ways to be those bridges to others, that they too might know a peace that we have a hint of now and that will someday be ours forever. That's what we are as a Christian congregation, a place of healing, a place of restoration, a place of wholeness, a place of celebration in the presence of the God who sent his Son to give us that new birth, the one that lasts all the way into eternity. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.